For you, if you don't have a Bible, and we're going to talk about the sacrifices of Thanksgiving tonight. Again, thank you guys. Matt, pleasure to meet you tonight, and what a wonderful job you all have done. And this past week, I came across a very interesting study, and it's not a happy study, by the way. I came across this past week about the Thanksgiving Misery Index. And Ohio is number one in misery. That's our state that we live in. Now, here's the things. There's six criteria that they use to calibrate how we came to number one, being a very miserable place to celebrate Thanksgiving. First one is the likelihood of family food poisoning episode. Ohio rates very high in that, by the way. Second thing, likelihood of relatives getting drunk and making a scene. So most sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy kind of thing, doesn't it? Third one, likelihood of political arguments. Ohio obviously is divided in the last presidential election, and so families get together and start talking politics. It can cause quite a mess. Fourth thing, dietary restrictions impacting meal quality. A lot of people in Ohio are diabetic, so that changes the quality of the food. Fifth thing, likelihood of favorite NFL team losing on Thanksgiving. There's another one. And the sixth one is the likelihood of guests or cooks abandoning to shop a Black Friday sale. And Ohio, taking all those criteria in, rates number one on one of the most miserable places in the United States of America to celebrate Thanksgiving. Well, on the screen this evening, we're going to have a scripture from the 107th Psalm. Starting at verse 21, I'm going to make a little running comment as we look at this, but here's how the Bible describes Thanksgiving. Now, we are to be thankful to someone. Look what he says in verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to their Lord for his goodness. Now, what we are to be thankful for, here it says, continuing on, and for his wonderful works to his children of men. And what we are supposed to give is in verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing. Now may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word this evening. Now here's what I know about myself, and I think this is probably true about everyone here. The first two we have down. Most of us this week will probably say thank you to God about something. Most of us probably this past week have said thank you to God about something. We know who to say thank you to, and we know what to say we're thankful for. But it's the last one I think we have a real issue with. Making a sacrifice, making the sacrifices for Thanksgiving or of Thanksgiving. Now, as we pause and give thanks over this past, this next week coming Thursday, I hope we give more thanks than just what we're eating and what's going on. And I don't believe there's any other sin that the Bible really quite paints a negative picture about than the sin of ingratitude. It's one of the worst sins that is out there. Milton, the blind poet, said this, that a person with an ungrateful spirit only has one vice. He said that all the rest of his vices are virtue compared to ingratitude. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. Every other sin is a virtue compared to the sin of ingratitude. How terrible it is to be not to be grateful to God. And yet, the church and society is full of people who are grumpy, that are hateful, that will be drunk on Thanksgiving, that will have all the things that their team loses on Thanksgiving. And this Thursday, I want to challenge us just not to be thankful for the materialistic things that are in front of us. See, there's a spiritual sacrifice that we need to be making just beyond just on Thanksgiving. It needs to be a 24/7 kind of thing, an attitude of gratitude toward God. You can make a checklist at your home, and this is not a bad thing to do. Make a checklist and maybe just sit down and try to figure out the good things that God has bestowed upon you that you can and should be thankful about. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you're on your road, on your way, on the road to heaven. That's one thing that we can never express enough gratitude about. So I hope that this Thanksgiving for all of us here is going to be more than just sitting on the couch, stuffing ourselves with stuffing and being a couch potato. That's not where it's at. You need to do something else. You need to look back toward God and say thank you to God for some of the great things. In fact, all the great things that he's done in your life. Now, I want to give us just a short model tonight. We're going to be brief tonight. But I want to give us just a short model from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, on how we can really express not only thankfulness this Thanksgiving, but in every day of our life, in every way to God. Now, here it is on the screen. I've got some things underlined here tonight as well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Got that underlined. That's an important thing to remember in Thanksgiving. A living sacrifice. Here's another thing. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, notice in this verse, it talks about a living sacrifice. And we're okay with sometimes about bringing dead things to God, but God's asking us to bring ourselves to him. The very best sacrifice that we can bring is presented right here in the scripture before us, and it's called a living sacrifice, which is your entire life. In the Gospel of Mark, we are called to take up our cross and to follow him. Now, why does God ask to do that? Well, he tells us it's a reasonable thing. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren. In other words, it's like Paul is down on his knees and he's saying to those who are reading this, and even to those that are hearing this here today, that God is calling you. See, God is speaking directly here through Paul. We can't forget that. And we lose sight. We say, oh, it's the Apostle Paul saying this. No, it's the Holy Spirit working through Paul, writing through Paul in such a way that God is speaking here and he's saying, I'm crying out to you. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging with you that you would present yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, just imagine if the Lord Jesus was to come in here and be right before us. We'd fold our hands up and just look in his face after he said, I beg you to do this. What would you do? Would you just say, okay, you know, I'll think about it? Or would you get on your knees and say, Lord, you know, what would you have me to do? See, the Lord's the one that's doing the beseeching here. And he's calling us by his mercies. He's calling us to remember what he hasn't done to us, that he could have done to us, and what he has given to us by no reason that we have ever done in our life to deserve it. So why should I give my body for him? Well, he gave his body for you. He died on that cross. When they drove the nails into his hands, those nails were part of the representation of your sin that was placed upon him. See, those nails were my sin, and that hard hammer that was hammering away at those nails was the hardened heart that I have toward him. Yet he suffered, he died, he bled, he did all those things which you guys did a great job singing about tonight. And he calls us to present ourselves, and it's a reasonable thing. Now, the reason for it is that God requires it. It's not something that preachers get up and talk about just to corral people into service. Listen, this is God's word. And God said, there's nothing unreasonable about me expecting you to give everything that you have, because it's all his in the first place. So I want to show you a couple things here. It has to be voluntarily. We don't twist anybody's arm here. If you don't want to follow God, then don't follow him. That's your prerogative. That's whatever you want to do. Nobody can make you do this. You have to choose to do it on your own. Notice he says in the verse there, we see the present your body. That's a voluntary act. In fact, it's like an army, kind of volunteer army. You know, it used to be back, and I'm an old man, but back in the day when I was not so an old man, had to go register for the selective service. That meant possibly you could be drafted, you know. That was something. I still have the little card in one of my files at home that has my name and stuff on it for the selective service. But now we have an all-volunteer army. Well, that's what this means here. It's an idea of a volunteer. We have an all-volunteer force. Let me tell you, In God's kingdom, it's an all-volunteer force, isn't it? I do it because God has called me to do it, and I want to serve him because he has called me to serve him. Now, notice also here it says, look, completely. Let's color that in. You're to present your body as a living sacrifice. The word to focus on is holy in that passage right there. The Greek word is agos, and it's defined as any matter of religious awe, penance, sacrifice, holy, set apart, sanctified, consecrated, saint, chaste, pure. Its fundamental idea is separation, consecration, devotion to the service of God, sharing in God's purity, and abstaining from earthly defilements. Let me distill that down. Holy means holy. What it means is I give myself completely to him. There's not this little compartment in my life that I keep for myself, and this over here I give for God. I've heard businessmen at a time or two in my ministry say, well, that's business. No, it's what God wants all the time, period, end of story. You either conduct yourself as a Christian in every area of your life, or just forget it, because you're just being a phony. You're being a hypocrite. And God wants us to present our bodies holy to him. My wife, my children, my home, my car, my vacations, my future, my bank accounts, my 401k, whatever it has, whatever ambitions that I have, they belong to God wholly. Let me ask you, have you done that? You know, I struggle with that. I'm going to be truthful about it. I struggle with that all the time. That's why our life is a crucified life. Crucifixion is not this electrocution and you're done. Crucifixion is the painful, slow, systematic death of yourself. And we are crucified with him. So do you completely, voluntarily present your body, present everything that you are to him? You know, some of you, most of you don't know me. Well, I say a lot of you know me, but some of you don't know me here. But I do hunt, okay? And we like to say harvest when we take an animal, just to not offend the PETA folks. But if you've ever butchered a hog or butchered any kind of meat, whether it's live, wild animal or a domesticated animal, when you initially deal with that animal, that meat, it's very slimy. It's very slimy, and it's you've got to really work with it to keep it from sliding around. It's just slimy. Well, in the Old Testament, when they would put the meat on the altar, they had two things called flesh hooks that would hold the meat to the altar. Can I tell you just a little illustration here? In our lives, we're like that slimy piece of meat. We want to slide off the altar. We put some things on the altar, and then we sort of hinge and fringe around a little bit, and we come sliding right off, and we just slide right off the altar. We need to get some hooks in our life. And I want to mention two hooks in our life that are going to help us be bound to the altar. One is devotion. It can be defined as committed love. And the number two is discipline, which is training to ensure proper behavior. Those two flesh hooks will keep you on the altar, devotion and discipline. It's pretty good, really, when you get down to it, to be bound down. Let me finish up here in brief. I'm almost done here. Third is dramatically. Okay, we talked about voluntarily, and now we're talking about dramatically. The word dramatic means suddenly, to a large degree or scale. The word picture here in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, is pretty dramatic. Now, I want to give you my literal of that second verse from the Greek back to the English and sort of today's jargon. Here's what it says. And stop being molded by external and fleeting fashions of this age, but to the contrary, be completely changed by the renovation of your mind that you may prove what is acceptable and complete will of God. The challenge for us here this coming Thanksgiving is to give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to give ourselves to him for just this complete renovation of our mind. If you look back again, which we took the text off there, but if you look, you see that word renewing. It is the Greek word anakinosis, which means to renew or to make over again. It's two words, two Greek words, one meaning again, the other one means new. It can be understood as the renovation of a person different from their past. Didn't Paul say that we are a new creation in Christ? So the literal of that, stop being molded. Don't let the world make you what the world wants to make you. Allow God to make you what the Holy Spirit wants to make you. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you got to recognize that only God can change a person. Period. Now, you have to allow him to do that. You have to allow him to work through you to do that. And only God can do that. See, David committed adultery and murder. A man after God's own heart committing murder and adultery. I'm always fascinated by the end of his life, too. Because he turned from this real ultra-loving, caring guy to like the Soprano dude who was saying, okay, you know, this guy had wronged me in my past. Now, Solomon, here's what I want you to do. I want you to kill him. I want you to take his gray hair to the ground with blood. Said that twice, I believe, in the Old Testament. I mean, and here's a man after God's own heart. We got to stay disciplined. We got to stay committed. David committed adultery, and he wrote the 51st Psalm after that fact. And I want to read a couple of verses from there. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit in me. David understood the only person who could change him was God. I hope tonight you understand that the only person that can change you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to allow that change to take place. It's just never enough to know that God can change you. You've got to allow it to happen in your life. See, the Christian life, I believe, is this event where we realize that we're lost, we're undone, and then it's this process of sanctification and justification in our life. We need to just remember that once we make that decision, there is going to be a process of change in our life. Verse 15 from that 51st chapter, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth. Shall show forth praise to you, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Know that God can change you. Allow him to change you. Now let me give you a couple things in closing out here tonight. We need to show thanksgiving toward God. I think we've got that down to some degree. Sometimes it's superficial. Sometimes it's idealistic, idle things that we have in our life that we're thankful for. And we need to be careful to be thankful to God. But be thankful to God completely, dramatically, presenting yourself to him. That will show your thankfulness to him. And God wants to hear some things from you. You know what God wants to hear from you? He wants to hear thank you. He wants to hear that you love him, that you respect him. And just beyond that, he wants to see it in your life. Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads just for a few moments tonight. Can that be said of your life? Can it be said that you are truly thankful to God? You've done it on a voluntary basis? We need to be. We need to be thankful for what God has given us and what God has done for us. Have you recognized that he can and he will change you? Moment, I'm going to have a prayer. And after the prayer, these gentlemen are going to begin singing. If you need to pray about something tonight, maybe about a relationship with God, maybe about being estranged from God for some time, I'm going to invite you to do that tonight. Come forward. I'll pray with you. We have some other folks who pray with you here. But allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So let's all stand. And again, bow your heads. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your love and for your provision. And thank you that you have chosen not to give us what we deserve. You've chose to give us something that we could never deserve and never could earn. But once that's given, Father, there should be a desire in our heart to live for you, to present our bodies as this living sacrifice. So I pray tonight for those that are here. Maybe they've never considered Christianity in such a way, but tonight maybe the light goes off in their head and their mind, and they realize that they've compartmentalized a lot of their life when it comes to you. They've got their church on Sunday, and they got their other things that go the six other days of the week. I pray that they'll realize you want them 24/7, and they'll begin to serve in such a way. So, Lord, we pray you'll just draw with cords of love, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you.